So there's two things that we're going to do in this meeting. One of them is really simple, and that's discussing and voting on the case for Rob as a new board member, Rob Reich. And the other is more of an open-ended thing about discussing, you know, how this year has gone, what our plans are for next year, and that's going to be very much, like, we have purposely called this meeting before we started to work on our self-review and our plan. So it's something that we haven't formed concrete proposals for or plans for, and the reason we're doing it this way is because we want to start with sort of questions and, you know, requests and kind of get that done before we've started imposing a framework so we can give preliminary thoughts. But this is not us presenting what we've done and you guys responding. This is you guys talking to us about what you want to see us analyze and how, and us having an open-ended conversation about it. And then, you know, in a few months' time, we will do a big review and we'll have the conversation about that. So that's the agenda. That's sort of the order of things. So unless anyone has any objections to that, I think we'll start with Rob Reich. Rob is a professor at Stanford. We've known him for a while. He's been a Gibwell fan for a while. And, you know, we kind of started talking about adding him to the board, and he's spoken to both Tom and who else did he talk to? Tim?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he spoke to Tom and Tim. Did we get Tim, by the way? I know Tim said he was about to dial in. We might not have him yet. Oh, I guess we don't have Tim yet.
I am here.
Oh, you do. Okay.
I have spoken to Rob on many occasions.
Yeah.
But offered him my unconditional support without actually speaking to him directly about Goodwill.
Okay, cool. So maybe, Tom, you could give a summary of what you see as, like, you know, the case for Rob, and then maybe we can vote.
Sure. It's been a while since we spoke, so I'm going to be a little vague probably, but my recollection is that Rob's a very sharp and insightful observer of Goodwill's activities in the philanthropic world in general. I think his role and his activities on the Stanford faculty are really relevant, and I think his connections to the Stanford community, the academic community generally, are really valuable in terms of expanding Goodwill's network and increasing the number of participants in the conversation. So I think it'd be terrific to have. Hopefully, it will be terrific to have Rob as part of the board and as a kind of observer and critique of our activities.
Great.
So I'm very excited to have Rob join.
Great. And maybe Rob, you could just give a brief summary of, like, your background, interest in Goodwill, and then we're actually going to vote by email, so it's not like we're going to do a voice vote with Rob on the call. So just everyone keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Sure. Well, I am the faculty co-director of a center at Stanford called the Center on Philanthropy and Civil Society, which is was funded initially in some seed grants by the Hewlett Foundation. At the time that we got that initial grant, the program officer for us was Jacob Harrell, and I believe that he was also involved in funding GiveWell at some relatively early stage. And through conversations with Jacob, I came to know about GiveWell in addition to having read about it in the newspaper on a few occasions. And through my own academic interests concerning philanthropy, began following it more closely, was connected to a student at Stanford named Alexander Berger, who went on to work for GiveWell, still does. And in the course of my work at Stanford, and especially then with the move of GiveWell to the West Coast, had more and regular conversations with Holden and Ellie, as well as some other folks like Harry Tuna. And as Holden said, I'm a big fan and want the organization to succeed, and hope to be able to connect the work of the organization to the broader landscape of philanthropy that I have a view about from the center at Stanford, and would be honored to join.
Cool. So if everyone who's an actual... I'm going to open the... Like, I think we should take whatever questions people want to ask, and then I think we're going to email our votes to Tom, who is an actual board member. So does anyone else have comments or questions? Okay. Well, so everyone who's on the board currently, email to Tom your vote on adding Rob to the board, and then we'll move to the next topic. The next topic is like I said, is kind of an open-ended conversation about how we should be looking back on this year and how we should be planning for next year. And I think it's good to have it at this early stage because I think things have changed a lot, and I think there's some really tough questions we're grappling with. And so rather than us bringing something fully formed to you guys, we want to get your concerns before we start to really work on that and think about it. So I am going to start with like a brief summary of what I think we accomplished this year, what I think we did not accomplish, and what I see as the major challenges and questions going forward are. But this is really just like a summary of things we're grappling with and not, you know, not like, oh, we've done a review and this is what it says. So, I mean, basically, the main goals of this year that were articulated at the beginning of this year were one, and I don't remember the order they were, but there were like two things that were really important. One was make progress on GiveWell Labs, and two was build capacity, hire people, and put ourselves in a better position to be able to run both GiveWell Labs and the kind of traditional GiveWell at the same time, which probably means the traditional GiveWell has less involvement from myself and Ellie. I think we did pretty well on both of those goals. We explicitly deprioritized traditional GiveWell, and so traditional GiveWell in terms of moving forward, not although we did work on it a lot in terms of building capacity. So basically, you know, we didn't actively reach out to new potential top charities this year, although we kept an eye out for them. And the one that really expressed an interest to us in participating in our process and in being more transparent than previously was The Order in the World. So we did do that review. That review was, you know, most of the work was done in a training setting by Tim Tolene-Lawton, who's a new hire. We did, you know, do a very thorough review on them. We recommended them. We also did a couple new research reports on clean water interventions and on vitamin A supplementation. Those are also things where the bulk of the work was done by new hires. And so that's, you know, that's what we've got on GiveWell One. And I think basically, like, we don't know yet what the money moved will be. That's something we're going to find out. So far, what it looks like is that we've gotten a ton of press this year. I think this has got to be our best year overall for press, unless you're like, yeah. So this is our best year overall for press, no question. Traffic's really good. Small donations are way up, continuing to grow at a really good rate. I think something like double last year. Big donations are down. That may be because we've been pretty open with people that a lot of us, you know, may be waiting and saving. Maybe not be. I don't know. We don't really know. We need to look into it.
We just don't know whether big donations are up or down this year. But it's possible that they will be. And we know of some people who are likely waiting who gave significantly in past years.
Yeah. So that's on the traditional GiveWell side. And then in terms of capacity building, you know, I think everyone knows we made a bunch of new hires. We've got a much bigger staff than we had at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we now have 11 people. I think we had like five at the beginning of the year. Maybe four. So that I think, you know, I think in terms of capacity building, I think progress has been really good. I mean, we've hired people, we've trained them. They've done a lot of the work on traditional GiveWell. We think they can do more next year. It feels a little unsatisfyingly slow still when we look at what we'll be able to do next year with GiveWell One, because, you know, we can only grow at a certain rate. But I think pretty good performance on that goal for the year. GiveWell Labs, I mean, we definitely succeeded at the goal of spending a lot more time on it than in previous years. I spent most of my time on it. Alexander spent most of his time on it. And, you know, and then we were working closely with Carrie, and now that we're in the same office, I think our coordination was better. So I think we've made a lot of progress on GiveWell Labs. However, GiveWell Labs is still not the kind of thing where it's like this linear progress, and I can tell you where we are on some sort of line that leads to having definite deliverables and metrics. And I think we're getting closer to that. So I think if I were to summarize what we did on GiveWell Labs this year, I mean, we did a big rethink early in the year, switching our unit of analysis more sort of intensely to looking at causes and really, really thinking about how do we systematically examine lots of causes instead of kind of looking around at different projects. We'd already been doing some of that, but I think we got more systematic about it this year. We did we now have sort of shallow, medium, and semi-deep investigations of causes. So a shallow investigation is where we basically talk to like 1 to 3 people and get a very preliminary sense of our key questions for the cause. And our key questions are, what is the problem? What can we do about it? And who else is working on it? And then we also, you know, took, in addition to the 20-something shallow investigations we've done, not all of which are public, but all of which are very close to being public. We also did some medium-depth investigations, which were talking to more like 10 to 30 people about the same questions, building a more comprehensive landscape. And we've articulated a set of causes that are high on the priority list for deeper dives, and including funding. And so they're, you know, in partnership with Good Ventures, some grants have been made, a couple small grants so far, but there's a bigger grant that we're contemplating. So we've basically created a process that I think makes sense and has like discernible criteria. And we've got samples, a lot of the outputs we want that process to have. And we've taken it all the way up to having focused causes where preliminary grants are being made. With that said, there are whole categories of causes that we need to do a lot more preliminary sort of groundwork on before we can really investigate them. And, you know, in terms of getting really, really deep into a cause, like the way that a traditional foundation does, where you really kind of have a person whose only job is to work on that cause and you have like a major budget, you know, I'm not actually sure how close we are to that, because I think we want to survey the field pretty well before we start picking stuff like that. So what I would say is that we've developed some frameworks. We've done a lot. There's a lot to read if you want to read about Givewell Labs. I know a lot of people say things like, well, I hear about Givewell Labs. I don't know what it's doing. I haven't seen anything. There's a ton of content, tons to read. And I think we've produced a lot. But in terms of saying, you know, where are we going to be a year from now, I still feel pretty unable to say that. But I do think we're getting closer. And I certainly can say that within a year, you know, there'll be a bunch more grants, which is not something we were doing at the beginning of the year. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where we've been. Maybe I'll pause there because I talked for a while, and then I'll talk about where we're going.
I have a question about Givewell Labs. Is the likelihood, the stuff that's already sort of the smaller stuff, and even the bigger one that's in progress, and your vision for the things that may be yet to come in the next year or two, are these going to be recommendations and or grants to specific already charities that are already in place for these causes? Or are you thinking more along the lines of that you would sort of create charities or grants, you know, create capacity that really doesn't even sort of exist in a specific space yet?
So the answer is both. And specifically, can I talk about what the grants are? Mm-hmm. You know, one thing to keep in mind is that this doesn't really look like recommendations right now. This isn't like things we're putting up on our website and saying, please fund this. Because this is like us working in partnership with Good Ventures and kind of collaborating on things. And when we see something good that we agree is good, and so far we've been in agreement, like Good Ventures has been the one to fund it. So it's, you know, we're not at this point saying, okay, we've got this like thing up on a website and we're asking people to do it. It's more like, you know, there's an actual grant we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And that's partly because, you know, these grants are optimized for learning. So, you know, we're comfortable like spending money to learn in a way that we're not comfortable asking GiveWell's audience to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. The other part of it is, you know, I think with some of these, it's just like the conversations would have been very different and a lot harder and a much bigger pain if we had followed the other process. And,
right.
You know, they're relatively small grants, right? Although with one exception. Other questions about the last year? And it's also fine to just, like, ask general questions later. I'm just trying to give people a chance to chime in on all the stuff I just said before I say a bunch more stuff.
This is Rob here. I've got a general question about the Givewell Lab effort.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is a possibility that after the effort of doing the shallow dives and deep dives or whatever the language is you have for them, that you'll end up not having anything to recommend that looks anything different from the top-ranked charities now on your site? And assuming the answer to that is no, that some recommendation of some kind will come out of the effort,
yeah.
Is the standard of evaluation that you're looking for in what comes of the Givewell Labs effort identical to the standard that you're holding the current top-ranked charities to?
So the answers are no and no quickly. I think there's no way that we're not going to have recommendations in other areas. And part of the reason for that is because I think you can tell when I start talking about criminal justice reform, I mean, how are you going to decide between, you know, funding these professors to start new organizations working on criminal justice reform and delivering bed nets? I mean, I think, I believe that it can be argued either way, and I believe that there's not, like, a clear way to decide, that it comes down to a lot of judgment calls. And while we can help clarify that choice, and while we can do a lot of analysis, and while sometimes our analysis will tell us that there really is a right answer, I think sometimes it's going to come down to very fundamental questions about how the world works, about what's most impactful, about, you know, political advocacy whose efficacy just can't be evaluated the same way as bed nets versus bed nets whose efficacy can be evaluated a certain way. So I think we are going to make recommendations, and I think that the criteria are just, it's just starting over. It's just, you know, what we are trying to do is find the best giving opportunities and be highly reflective and transparent about how we find them. And what we're not trying to do is apply the same criteria and the same standard of evidence to everything. And you know, that's very explicitly something we're not interested in trying to do. So,
got it.
You know, our criteria are, go ahead, Rob.
That's helpful. And I guess for, you know, somewhere downstream, as you feel greater confidence in moving the work of GiveWell Labs to, you know, the website and to that extent to the public, I'll be curious to get a sense about the language that you anticipate using on the website in terms of your recommendations. If you'll talk, for instance, about donors should think of themselves as having two giving budgets, one giving budget that is for the top ranked current charities on the site, and then a second one for GiveWell Labs recommendations, or whether you're going to use language that tries to assign percentages, you know, one budget, but percentages to the current top ranked charities, right, and that's the GiveWell Labs.
Yeah, I mean, I think GiveWell Labs is going to subdivide itself into a lot of things. So I think one way to think about this is that proven cost-effective charities is one cause that we've done, and now we're going to try and do a bunch of other causes. So I don't think that the natural way to divide it would be, you know, 50-50, because I think there's going to be a lot of things. And, you know, as far as a portfolio, I mean, I personally will probably not have a portfolio. I'll personally probably pick what I think is the best thing and give to it. I'm pretty compelled that that's often the best thing to do, but we'll certainly discuss issues like that and debates around them.
Could you add up a little bit? I'm sorry. That's good. I just want to say thanks for the answer.
Cool.
Could you talk a little bit about the allocation of staff time and sort of research efforts? Well, not only all efforts sort of over maybe 2013, over, you know, where it's been this year and where you see it going next year in 2014. You briefly touched on what you've done in 2013, maybe more looking forward, sort of along the lines of, you know, roughly this much towards GiveWell Labs, this much towards traditional GiveWell, this much towards organization building and or sort of other major tasks that you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. As far as the previous year, what ended up happening, you know, we started off the year saying we really need to make progress on GiveWell Labs. We also want to develop staff capacity for GiveWell One. What ended up happening was Ellie was kind of the manager of everyone. I mean, Ellie was sort of running things and managing everyone. And I was focused on labs, so I probably spent 80% of my time on labs, maybe more. Alexander was focused on labs, so he would probably also be around 80-20. And then, you know, most other people, I would say, spent most of their time on the traditional GiveWell, but there was some support. Actually, Ellie can answer this better than I can.
I mean, it's there's a lot of support work involved in GiveWell Labs, and a lot of the newer staff are providing that support via, like, putting together the summaries of conversations that we have.
But how would you describe the allocation?
I would say for most of, like, the new junior staff, it's, like, 50-50 between the two.
But, like, not Tim.
Tim was, like, 90% GiveWell One.
Yeah. So Tim was, like, 90% on the traditional work. So that's the previous year. For the next year, I think it's a big question, and I think I'll get to that when I go into my little spiel about what we're thinking about for next year. Okay, other thoughts before I go into that spiel? Okay. So for next year, I think there's some big questions that we have to grapple with, and we haven't really figured out what our answers are yet, as I've sort of said. So one question, actually, let me just pull my notes here. I mean, one question is how to prioritize traditional GiveWell and GiveWell Labs against each other. I think that's a tough question. Some considerations there. I mean, I think, you know, in many ways, the labs work, I think, is, in my opinion, sort of something that I feel is probably a better use of my time. And the reason I think that is because, A, I think we'll find better giving opportunities that way. I think that it's, like, it feels more like what I want to work on and what I'm interested in. And that's for reasons that I think we'll find better stuff that way. And certainly stuff that I think is better, although it'll always be debatable. And then the other reason is that I think that is going to be more influential on, like, really large donors than the traditional GiveWell stuff. And I think that GiveWell's always been top-heavy, and we're now trying to really embrace that and go over the biggest go after the biggest donors. And so, you know, that's a consideration. Another consideration, though, is that the traditional GiveWell is a better-developed product and is more proven, and people like it, and it has a track record. And these things are not true of GiveWell Labs. And, you know, when we look at the media we're getting this year for GiveWell One, it's like, wow, this thing is really having an impact. Plus, I think that a lot of the things we've been kind of wishing for from GiveWell One, even as, you know, I know there's been some frustrations with top charities not performing exactly as we wanted and all that. You know, I think it's worth noting that, like, some of the stuff that we for a long time wanted to happen with GiveWell One and weren't sure if it was going to happen is really starting to happen. And by that, I mean increased engagement from charities, increased transparency, you know, real opportunities to see how things go and learn from them and get better. And I think that for years, traditional GiveWell was heavily biased in terms of who would actually participate in our process. And it still is to a degree, but I think that bias is becoming visibly less bad over time. And I think that, you know, I think we can now see a much clearer path to a world in which lots and lots of charities want to participate, and people are creating charities in order to get a GiveWell recommendation, and people are doing studies in order to influence GiveWell, and evidence is improving, and we have a lot more options to pick from. So I think, you know, I think that's becoming a more and more realistic vision. I'm happy to go into the details of that. So, you know, I think it's a good project, and we want it to thrive, but I also think that GiveWell Labs is, like, to me, you know, is the better, feels like the better use of my time, certainly, and I think is a really important project, too. We're not sure exactly what that's going to mean. We sort of feel like the ideal is to turn traditional GiveWell into something that doesn't need heavy involvement from myself or Ellie in order to thrive, but we also think that could be, like, a really long and really difficult process, and we're aware of that, and we're ready for it, but we need to think about how best to approach it. So that's question one, is how to allocate between the two. Question two is fundraising, which also connects to question three, which is the continuing question of the relationship between Good Ventures and GiveWell. So, you know, I think there is, we did the fundraising blog post, we made a few calls, we got some new commitments, we closed part of our funding gap. But I think when we look at the long term, I think if we want to be sort of independent of Good Ventures funding and we want to have, like, our own strong donor base, I think we're really going to have to spend a lot of time fundraising. And I also think that another thing we may have to grapple with, we're not sure yet, but I would say that we've seen preliminary signs that a lot of the people who are excited about GiveWell are not that excited about independence from Good Ventures. And they, you know, they kind of think, well, as long as Good Ventures is there, why do I need to be a part of this? And it's, like, a very tough sell to them. And so, you know, clarifying that relationship and drawing some kind of line where Good Ventures support ends, you know, and where exactly it ends and why it ends, I think is a potential part of that conversation. So I think that's a really tough thing, is, like, how important is it really for GiveWell to be independent of Good Ventures? What are we ready to do to make that happen? And, you know, the alternative is, and this is, like, very much a question for Good Ventures as well as us, this is not something that, like, you know, we are going to decide, it's something we both are going to decide, is, like, is it, you know, could it make sense to get more support from Good Ventures than we're getting? And is that a bad thing? And so, like, that's, yeah, I mean, those are the major questions that basically, like, we're just starting to think about them. Is that fair? Anything to add there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one thing I would add is that there isn't really a current level of support that Good Ventures is giving because we have given like a kind of pretty modest level of general operating support and supported a lot of research expenses with, you know, grants for research expenses. And I've been waiting for you guys to come to me with a proposal on what the like level of support should be ongoing. And so that's, you know, I would just say that, like,
right.
Yeah, that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
That we haven't, like, full conversation yet.
We did come up with, I thought we did come up with, like, a number and an arrangement. I just don't know that it's the right one.
Oh, I don't know what that number or arrangement is.
Okay, well, we can take that offline.
Okay.
We always forget this.
All right, well, that's my spiel. So what I'd love to hear from you guys is opinions on these questions and other questions that you'd like us to be asking about ourselves as we go into this evaluation.
So this is Colin. I just want to make one point about your previous comment before you start talking about the Good Ventures relationship about how the charity world is changing and there's a higher level of transparency and there are more people who are interested in conforming to GiveWell's format and demands for information and metrics. I think that's a really, really important point, and I think it's something that, it comes up a lot. It seems like, I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of all the posts and the reports on the website, but it seems like that's something that really merits even a higher level of visibility because, you know, the process is something that GiveWell has been devoted to from the beginning, the process meaning transparency and analytics and metrics-based evaluation and, you know, not flinching on that stuff and not necessarily following conventional processes for doing charity analysis. And I think that's not only is it something that's worked and it's a success story, but it's something that is definitely changing in kind of a secular way. And it's also something that really ties together GiveWell One and GiveWell and GiveWell Labs. And I think it's something that I would love to see take even a higher profile in the public work that you guys are doing.
Yeah. Another comment that reminded me of is I want to put on the table too that we're thinking about the branding of GiveWell and GiveWell Labs and how related they should be seen as, because, you know, I think there's a pretty strong case that we actually want them to be different brands. Because I think we want the freedom with labs to be very, very different while having GiveWell continue to be perceived as something that's very sort of, you know, we have our methodology, we're evidence-based, all the things we've built up. And I think probably the best way to do that is to distance them, is to basically call GiveWell Labs something else. Also, that could help with some of the communication issues around the role of Good Ventures and let GiveWell's brand continue, the actual GiveWell's brand to be, you know, I think the reputation of being super hardcore about evidence is a good reputation, and I want that to continue to apply to that work. And I want to be able to do work that may fit a different description and have different advantages without having it get in the way of that stuff. So,
This is Tim with a question about the withering away of GiveWell One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you commented, one, that GiveWell Lab is going to be of more interest to large donors. We've talked in the past about how large donors are the ones more likely to support the operations of GiveWell as opposed to just directing gifts to the recommended charities. You know, we talked about how it's more exciting to you personally.
Mm-hmm.
What is the concern, or should we be concerned that, pending a divorce of the brands and, you know, these issues that, well, GiveWell One ultimately just sort of withers away. And while I do very much appreciate the major progress that the skeptic in me would never have believed to this point in changing the way some people are thinking about charity, just to, you know, keep things in perspective, we still are having something like 150,000 new applications for 501c3s in the United States every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we people like us do tend to be blinded about how much of the charity world operates completely independently of any of this conversation and doesn't even know that GiveWell exists.
Sure. So a couple comments. One, I think it's a disservice to GiveWell to talk about a goal of I don't think we should talk about GiveWell's goals in the context of how many charities there are, because I don't think it's realistic, and, you know, I don't know if I ever thought it was realistic. We can go back in time to, you know, to change the way every charity works. What I think is realistic, and what I was very careful to say, is I can picture a world in which there are many charities vying for GiveWell recommendations that are strong contenders, in which people are starting charities in order to become GiveWell recommended, in which people are doing studies in order to influence GiveWell's recommendations. And that's a world in which the giving options get dramatically better along that axis. And that's a world I'm excited about. That's not a world in which all of the million charities are held up to the kind of, you know, theoretical scrutiny we might ideally like to see. And so that's, you know, that's an important distinction to make. I think the top charities thing is extremely exciting. But I think it's good to be realistic about where that's headed. And I think where it's headed is a big impact. I think where it's headed is tens of millions of dollars a year to outstanding charities, and the options are a lot better than they would have been in the absence of this mechanism. And a lot of learning is produced as well, and I think that's really cool. As far as withering away goes, I think that, you know, withering away is just not an accurate description of what happened this year, of what has happened, of what will happen. I mean, if you look at the person hours put into GiveWell this year versus, like, you know, most years, I don't know, it's not far off, I don't think, because we hired a bunch of people this year. And so we worked really hard on GiveWell this year, on traditional charities. We worked really hard on it. We hired people. I continued to care about it a great deal, to be really engaged with it. I spent most of my time on GiveWell Labs, but I spent a lot of time on traditional GiveWell. And I think we're going to keep working hard on it. And I'm not sure exactly how we're going to get there. And it's definitely a question. But, you know, I don't think withering away is what has happened or what will happen, or certainly not necessarily so.
So what is your thought about the ongoing operational funding for GiveWell One, given, you know, the things you've expressed about, you know, some difficulty in raising operational funds already, and the fact that people who you traditionally targeted for operational funds seem to be more excited about GiveWell Labs than GiveWell One?
I mean, I think part of the answer is, like, part of the answer might be drawing a clearer line. I'm not sure. Part of the answer might be saying, you know, I think part of my theory, which we have not confirmed, is that, like, there may be some reluctance to donate to GiveWell when people think good ventures will just come in. And so to say that that is only happening to a certain extent may change that. I mean, there's also just the question of how much effort we want to put in. And, like, I don't know. Like, I basically think that we probably would be able to support traditional GiveWell, like, via donations from individuals. I mean, that's the bottom line. We don't know this. We haven't proven it, but that's what I think is true.
So we just have these big questions to ask about GiveWell One, to sort of summarize a lot of what Holden said. How should it relate to the other work we're doing with GiveWell Labs? How much of our time is it worth putting into GiveWell One to do two things? Both, like, build a, you know, as Holden put it, non-LE Holden staff capacity to really run this thing. And that probably includes, if you do it right, like, development capacity to really, like, enable this thing to raise funds. And these are just, you know, not things that we fully thought through yet and are the major questions for next year.
You had mentioned appealing to big donors, I mean, to GiveWell Labs appealing to big donors. I think we've had conversations in past board meetings about the possibility of further relationships, maybe not quite as strong as with Good Ventures, but at least of that, you know, magnitude, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm misremembering. I don't know. I guess that would be my point. Is there what is your prospective, or what is your thoughts that within the next, say, 12 to 24 months, that you might have other relationships at least sort of similar or possibly approaching the magnitude of sort of the Good Ventures relationship?
I think the odds are pretty low for the magnitude of the Good Ventures relationship for a couple reasons. One is that Good Ventures has a combination of being like really large and also sort of early, but also full time. So they're, you know, Carrie is full time, but she's also early, so it's not like an already developed foundation that, you know, that kind of already has its way of doing things. And then it's just like how large it is. So, I mean, I think we've met other people who are very interested in GiveWell and who are very high net worth individuals. But, I mean, there aren't that many people in the country who have the kind of, you know, giving capabilities that Good Ventures does. So, I mean, I think if that's what you're looking for in the next 12 to 24 months, I think it's probably not happening. I think we are, you know, I think the chance of, I don't know. To me, it's more about the long run. To me, it looks more like, what am I thinking? What am I expecting for the next 5 to 10 years? I think if we can build, because there's a bunch of factors. A lot of the people who are going to give the most are just not thinking about giving yet. They're not thinking about it at all. They're not at that stage of their life yet. And that's just a fact. And we need to be there when they do enter that stage of their life. Another fact, sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought for a second. I mean, another fact is that we don't really have a product yet. And you can hear this anytime someone talks about GiveWell Labs. You know, we have some cool stuff. We've written some stuff. But it is very different. And you know, a good example of this is the original GiveWell. With the original GiveWell, we had a website describing what we were going to do. We told everyone what we were going to do. We tried to get people to pledge to what we were going to do. Couldn't get anything to go. It was just, there were some people who were interested. They were mostly our friends. It was not something that was easy to pitch. And there was the occasional person who really got it and really kind of bought in. And once we had top charities, and the reasoning behind the top charities was pretty good, and we were able to answer most questions that people asked about our top charities, that's when things took off. So that's another major factor in GiveWell Labs. I think we have a really unusual degree of resonance with Good Ventures and have kind of met them at a good time. But GiveWell Labs right now is not ready to do that. And at the point where we really kind of know our stuff and are able to talk about it intelligently, which I think we will get there. I don't think this is some unattainable goal, and I think we have gotten there with GiveWell 1. I think that'll be very different. So my vision is much more like, we're in the right city, we're doing the right work. 5 to 10 years from now, we're going to really know what we're doing, and a lot of people will have started to be really interested in philanthropy, and we will have been there when they started to get interested in it. So that's what I think is the really important picture. If you want to know, like,
adventures.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Good Ventures connected to you guys, I think, before sort of GiveWell Labs was, you know, very much out there, if it was even conceived of. That, I don't know, you know.
Right, no, it was not out there at all.
I assume Good Ventures connected with you based on GiveWell 1.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of wondering, and yeah, it was, I guess I maybe overstated. I wouldn't necessarily expect that you'd have much of anybody, you know, sort of along. Obviously, you can only be in one office space and sharing office space with them and all that. So some things don't scale. But I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, are you stumbling across others, you know, looking to give 6, 7, and even potentially 8-figure donations based on your recommendations? And, you know, how if anything is that moving along? And I know that there's been, obviously there's a connection there to Facebook and how that played out, but you know their new Twitter has come out, and you know, a huge IPO, and there are companies like that all the time. I'm just sort of wondering, is that something that we should sort of expect once every 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, or is that something that's sort of, you know, kind of a lightning strike that, you know, may not happen ever again kind of thing?
I mean, I'd put Good Ventures specifically in the category of something that may not happen ever again. I'd put But I mean, it could happen again. And then, in terms of, are we meeting people who are either worth a lot, are going to be worth a lot, and are very interested in what we're doing? Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, I don't know how much detail we should go into, how much detail we can go into.
Yeah, I'm not looking for names. I'm just sort of trying to get a sense of it.
I mean, very vaguely, I would say that like we've continued to meet people who are giving like, or are thinking about giving in the range you said, like 6 or 7 figures, at varying degrees of readiness to like start writing checks. And my like very vague takeaway from all of that is that like working on GiveWell Labs is an important part of that, the interest in what we're doing. And I think we'd be like in worse position if we were only talking about international charities.
This is Rob here. Can I just add a question or a comment to this conversation, and then I have to apologize because I had to hop off the call right at 6. Apropos the question and your comment there, Holden and Ellie, it seems to me there's an interesting, you know, set of considerations or a trade-off to be faced between the allocation of staff time and investment of organizational capacity in attempting to cultivate other people with significant capacity, as they say in the business, you know, someone who's capable of making a 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure contribution, and expecting that the organization's time will be devoted partly to try to bring that about, as opposed to what you started off the call with by noting that the number of small donors who have, you know, come around to GiveWell separated charities has gone up significantly in the past year, and expecting that staff time and organizational capacity will be devoted, you know, to some greater extent to hoping that number continues to go up, where the bet, I assume, would be that trying to bring about some type of, you know, broader cultural shift in giving so that it's smarter, more rational, organized towards maximum benefit, could itself be a long-term investment worth trying, as opposed to, and here's putting it in the strictest terms of a trade-off, as opposed to seeking very large donors who can very quickly make a significant difference with their giving. Is that a trade-off that you'd agree exists, or would you want to resist that?
I don't really feel that acute trade-off exists. I think it's not really the way I would describe things. You know, I think with individual donors, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to change the way everyone gives to charity. I think we'll be, you know, what we will be is sort of like a prominent, easily findable option that affects a lot of charities and affects a lot of donors and has a strong media presence, which I think we're already starting to be. Crap, am I? Well. So, you know, I think that is something. I mean, I also think that influencing large donors, like, over the long run is a way to influence smaller donors. I mean, it, like, gives more credibility. It gives you a louder voice. So I don't see this as, like, sort of a strict trade-off. I also think it's helpful to clarify between different kinds of large donors because, you know, when we talk about large donations being not up necessarily this year, we're talking about, like, GiveWell One large donors, which tends to be, like, 5- and 6-figure gifts, and that's a particular set of people. And then, like, when we talk about, you know, the longer-term vision for GiveWell Labs, that would be, I guess, more like 7-figure donors or, like, I don't know, 6-7 instead of 5-6-figure donors. And those are people who we think, in many cases, are just not going to be that interested until we have something on Labs front.
Okay. Good. Thanks for that. Well, with apologies again for having to jump off early, thanks again for inviting me to join the board, and I'll look forward to getting to know the rest of you on the board a bit better over the coming years.
Cool. Thanks for joining, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Bye.
Other thoughts?
I'm still here. Is everybody else still here?
I'm here.
We're here.
What's let me go back a little bit, I guess, talking about organizational capacity. You had mentioned a little bit, I think, about possibility of bringing somebody on or having somebody other than, I would assume, other than Holden and Ellie devoted to or at least substantially involved in fundraising. Did I understand that correctly?
I mean, I only brought that up as, like, the what I think would be, like, a longer-term vision for making the traditional work of GiveWell a, like, sustainable entity.
Okay. I mean, it's always one possibility. I mean, you know, lots of other charities do it.
Yeah, it's not really an answer to what we're going to do in the next year, but it's definitely a possibility down the line. And it's a question of what we're aiming for with GiveWell One. Like, how, what are we trying to turn it into, and how fast are we trying to turn it into that, I think is one of the big questions we have to be asking.
So have you guys thought more about Ellie's role continuing in terms of nurturing new hires, or are you thinking in terms of these people that Ellie has trained will now train the next generation? How are you thinking about continuing to expand staff capacity and management?
I think Ellie's probably going to continue to be nurturer in chief. Especially Tim, now that he has a daughter.
Tim, you're the first person ever in my life who ever used that type of word to describe me. So thank you. I mean, I think one of the things that we saw happen this year, I mean, we hired a bunch of people, and like some were kind of young and recently out of college, and others were further along in their careers. And, you know, I think that we've gotten a lot of value from both groups, but I think that we are certainly thinking more about building future capacity from the more senior group relative to the more junior group, because they're in a position to like add capacity at a more senior level more quickly. And it's as GiveWell's profile has grown over the last few years, the opportunities to hire people who are a little bit further along in the career has grown. So I mean, I think that is likely where we'll be, you know, focused, you know, for like recruiting next year. Like we don't have plans to hire a lot more, I don't know, entry level staff, basically.
Do you see more demands? You mentioned, cycling back a little further back in the conversation, you mentioned a lot more media coverage in this past year. Do you see that? Is that a time and labor intensive thing to sort of interface with the media? Obviously, for every story that gets written, probably, you know, there's several that don't, and probably a lot of talking to reporters and things like that. Is that something that is sort of a conscious part of the budgeting and planning process?
It's really not, because it's very, very little time. It's actually probably the case that we talk to the reporter. It's like one out of every four stories that are written, because they're like, they want to interview us. And more often there's some, you know, big, you know, there's some story written in a mainstream publication and we don't even like talk to them. They write about it based on like hearing about GiveWell elsewhere, looking at publicly available materials. So, I mean, we've like traditionally and continued this year to put, you know, very little effort into reaching the media and let them reach us. And I mean, I think we've probably collectively at GiveWell put in like on the order of hours, you know, a handful of hours in December with the media. And, you know, that's it for the number of articles we've gotten.
I don't think you guys do this, but do you travel to conferences or try to do TED Talks or do sort of outreach in those fashions?
Not really. I mean, we've never been particularly successful at proactive outreach, and we've always done much better with doing good research, having people find us, and then, you know, spreading the message, with Peter Singer being the best example of that. And, you know, something like, I don't know whether we'd be able to get a TED Talk if we wanted to, but even if we could, I mean, that would just be an unbelievable level of like time put into presentation that would, you know, would really take away from these other priorities. So we haven't pursued that.
It might be. The only thing I would say is it certainly would be some very, very time intensive to do that. And to travel on conferences takes time and money and so on. But the only thing I'm thinking there is that it, you know, potentially has a high reach factor, you know, investing, let's say, 10 days of time, you know, but reaching potentially an audience of thousands or tens of thousands, you know, that might not have encountered you otherwise. I don't know. Just sort of brainstorming here. And I know it doesn't sound like it's something that either Holden or Ellie, you know, that's something that is high on your personal list of things you love to do. But again, that's the kind of thing that organizationally, you know, if one of you guys might want to do that, that'd be great. Or if not, you know, or if there's somebody else in the organization or who eventually comes into the organization who can do those kinds of things, it might potentially be a more fruitful thing. I think you guys experimented with that stuff back in circa 2009, 2010, a little bit more, like sort of donor, you know, reaching out and weren't super successful back then, but the site was much more embryonic back then. And at the stage you're at right now, you might have a little bit more traction with something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not something we're like, excited to do in the very near future. It's something that, you know, I hope we're able to do at some point down the line when we have the right capacity to do it.
I do think it's been a pretty consistent pattern that we're, you know, when we've gone and done outreach, sometimes we've, like, done a lot of prep and done it really well, and sometimes we haven't done much prep and we've done it okay, and, you know, it's never really led to much, and yet we've gotten, like, really good press from just kind of having a product and have people talk about it. So that's why, you know, we're just not very enthusiastic about this stuff. It doesn't mean we'll never do it, but it just means when we look at what we've got to worry about for the next year, it just continues not to really be that high on our list.
So, and just quickly, I mean, the things that we do from this outreach perspective, you know, certainly if, like, when major media comes calling, we're very happy to talk to them. As I said, we spend very little time on that. We like, kind of regularly hold these in-person events for, like, donors, and often people want to bring their friends in both New York and San Francisco. And, you know, those go pretty well for, you know, staying connected to big donors and offering people an easy way to, you know, if they're connected to a donor, to kind of learn more about what we're doing. And I think there was a nice article in today's Wall Street Journal that I think grew out of this event last week, where, you know, a guy who had donated in the past and attended the event could, you know, learned a little about GiveWell and then wanted to write about it. And then, the final thing we do out here, I think this is probably the final thing, is, you know, when, if there are, like, companies in the area and they're like, hey, we'd really like to have someone from GiveWell come down and talk for a lunch, like, we'll go do that. But, you know, those are the things that we've done that, you know, the talks, I'm not sure how successful those are in really converting people, but those are kind of the main things that are going on. You know, some talks, some events, talking to the media. And other than that, we feel like there's way more research to do than we have the time for. So we don't want to put a lot more effort into PR, especially because the results we've gotten in the past haven't been so great.
And to flesh out that picture a little bit more, I mean, what the common theme is in the activities we do, I mean, not universally, but, you know, we try to make it really easy for people to find us if they want to find us. And I think it's become pretty easy for people to find us. At most publications, you know, there's someone who knows about us and likes us, and especially any kind of outlet that has a reputation for kind of nerdy analytical content. I mean, there's someone there who's heard about us, who's a fan of us, who talks about us. So it's like, that's the situation. You know, Wonk Blog, Marginal Revolution, these are, like, kind of the nerdier blogs. But then, like, The Times, The Wall Street Journal, like, there's, you know, there's someone there who's kind of run across our work, who knows it. And so with that situation, it's like, you know, do we really want to go to a conference and target a bunch of people who aren't as well optimized to our message? Or do we want to kind of let that dynamic continue to play out, which it seems to be continuing to play out. And again, I mean, other people are good at spreading messages. And, you know, Peter Singer spreads the message about GiveWell. Various bloggers and reporters spread the message about GiveWell. And, you know, I think it's almost like just leave it in their hands has worked pretty fine. Okay, well, sorry, I just don't have internet right now.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, cool. So, any other comments? And if not, we'll wrap up. Anything else? All right, well, I would encourage you guys to just, you know, if you have more thoughts about what you think we should be doing next year and what you'd like to see, what questions you'd like to see us answer about the last year and the next year, we'd appreciate if you'd send them our way. But it was good to kind of get a, you know, give a little informal update, get a sense for what is on you guys' minds, and we'll think about how we're going to do something more formal. All right. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you.
Tom, you want to join
the meeting? Bye.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.